Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome back to another session of the Message of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, this session is brought to you in partnership with Helping Hand for Relief and Development. HHRD has been doing amazing work for years and years, for over a decade, all across the world, helping our Muslim brothers and sisters who are desperately in need of help and assistance and aid. They've been feeding people, clothing people, sheltering people, doing amazing work. So inshallah, please go to hhrd.org/Qalam, go to that link and donate and contribute generously, inshallah. Zakatul Mal, if you haven't given your zakat yet, Zakatul Fitr, which we of course have to give at the end of the month of Ramadan. So all of those obligations can be very confidently given with a sense of comfort, knowing that it's going to the right place and to the right people at HHRD. So please go to hhrd.org/qalam. Jazakumullahu khairan. So today we are going to be covering the 20th juz of the Quran, juz number 20. Now, juz number 20 has 171 verses within it. I mentioned this in a previous session that all in all, when you look at some of the different ajza' of the Quran, when you look at some of the different portions of the Quran, 171 is a little bit of a smaller number. Usually it's 200 something verses in any given juz. Whenever you see the smaller number of verses within a juz, that is an indication that this juz has the kind of surahs that has very lengthy verses within it. And lengthy verses are usually there because it's either telling a story, right? Or sometimes lengthy verses are there because it's Medinan revelation and it's dealing with a lot of legality, legal issues, right? It's explaining rules and regulations. Juz number 20 is all Meccan revelation. So it's not a lot of legal issues that are being talked about here, but there's a lot of stories being told. I mean, the bulk of the juz, about half of the juz, is a surah called Suratul Qasas, the surah about the stories, the surah of the stories. And so that's exactly what's going on here. So there are three surahs that this juz is comprised of. It contains the second half of chapter number 27, surah number 27, which is called Surah An-Naml, the chapter of the ant. So verses 56 through 93. Then the whole chapter number 28, surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas, all 88 verses are in this juz as well. And then chapter number 29, surah number 29, the first part of it, the first half of it, about, which is 45 verses, is also here in the 20th juz. And all three of those surahs are Meccan revelation before Hijrah, before migration. So therefore, this entire juz is Meccan revelation that it was revealed before the Hijrah. Okay? What that tells us, I've commented on this before, is that that tells us that this the subject matter of this surah will primarily be dealing with themes of iman, of faith, of belief, stories of the prophets, the life of the hereafter. It's very heavily focused in the area of theology and spirituality. Theology and spirituality. Those are the issues that Meccan revelation deals with. This juz, a lot of times the 20th juz, you might see it referred to as Amman Khalaq, which is just the first words of the juz in some of the prints of the Mus'haf. Some of the prints of the Mus'haf, it's a little bit different. But nonetheless, it is the 20th juz of the Quran. Now, there's a few things I wanted to highlight. At the end of Surah An-Naml, chapter number 27, I said that it deals heavily with the themes of theology and spirituality. So the very beginning of the 20th juz very powerfully deals with our theology, right? With the question of who is God, all right? Who is God? Who is Allah? أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَأَنْزَلَ لَكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةٍ مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَنْ تُنْبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ. Okay, that who is the one who created the heavens and the earth? And he sent down rain from the heavens and then we grew all types of vegetation beautifully upon the earth. And you couldn't have made these things grow, the trees and the grass and the food and the fruits and everything. أَإِلَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Could there be another deity along with God? بَلْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ يَعْدِلُونَ. These people are avoiding the truth. أَمَّنْ جَعَلَ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَجَعَلَ خِلَالَهَا أَنْهَارًا وَجَعَلَ لَهَا رَوَاسِيَ وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ حَاجِزًا. That who is the one who made the earth a place that is stable, that humanity can live on? Who is the one who put down streams splitting through the earth? Who is the one who put mountains down to hold the earth in its place? Who is the one who can separate two oceans with an invisible barrier? It's of course Allah. أَإِلَهُمَّ Allah. Can there be any other deity with God? بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of these people, they just don't realize. They don't think, they don't reflect, they don't understand. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. So now that you understand this, Allah says, who is the one who answers the call of the distressed when that person cries out to Allah? And who is the one who removes the harm and the difficulty from that person? And who is the one that has given you this dominion over the earth? أَإِلَهُمَّ Allah. Can there be any other God or deity along with Allah? قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Very little do y'all reflect. أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلْمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَنْ يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِي. Who is the one who guides you through the darkness of the land and the sea and sends winds that foretell you of the coming of God's mercy, rain? أَإِلَهُمَّ Allah. Can there be another God with Allah? تَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah is above and beyond what they associate to Him in terms of partners. أَمَّنْ يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ. Who is the one who made creation in the first place? Then who is the one who will bring creation back? وَمَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And who is the one who could sustain you from the heavens and the earth? أَإِلَهُمَّ Allah. Can there be any other deity along with Allah? قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ. Tell them, bring your proof and evidence if you are speaking the truth. قُلْ, and tell them, لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. No one in the heavens and the earth knows the unseen and knows everything other than Allah. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. They don't even know. They don't even understand and realize. They don't even grasp the reality of the fact that they shall be resurrected. The This is what we believe in. This is our theology. This is our faith. Such clear clarity in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the first page of the 20th juz. Then at the end of the chapter here, chapter number 27, Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides us some very powerful consolation. Look, human beings are not perfect. We are not perfect creatures. We make mistakes, we mess up, all kinds of things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah provides us some sense of reassurance. What does he say? مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. Whoever does a righteous deed, their reward will be greater than the deed that they performed. All right. Another place in the Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whosoever does a righteous good deed, they will get tenfold the reward of it. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ. And whoever does a sin, فَكُبَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. They will be slammed on their faces in the fire of hell. May Allah protect us all. But Allah says in another place, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِسَيْتِ فَلَا يُجَزَى إِلَّا مِثْرَهَا. When somebody commits a sin, they will only be punished. They will only receive the sin for what they committed. It won't be multiplied, but good deeds will be multiplied. And this is the mercy of Allah. And this is a very important lesson about theology without spirituality will create people who will not have the ability to practice what they know. And spirituality without proper theology will create people who don't know what they are not supposed to do. And they'll end up going too far in their worship and in their attempt to try to practice Islam and practice their faith. So it's very important that we couple theology along with spirituality. All right? And that's why that's what the Quran does. We just saw it in front of us right here. Now, in Surah number 28, Surah Al-Qasas, there's a lot that's mentioned here, but there are two stories that stand out particularly and that I'm going to focus on, inshallah, and I'd like to talk about those two sessions, those two stories here in this session, all right? Number one is the story of the Prophet Musa, alayhi salam. Musa, alayhi salam, has a very remarkable story. I will give you the cliff notes so that we can, you know, complete it within the time. That Musa, alayhi salam, is born in a family of Bani Israel. He's from the Israelites, okay? But he's born during the time in which the Pharaoh, the tyrant ruler, is massacring the sons of Bani Israel because he's paranoid, but I guess he was, you know, not totally wrong, that someone, a child born to Bani Israel, a son from Bani Israel, would grow up to one day topple his kingdom and his throne. And so he's massacring them. The Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, he's born his mother, Ummu Musa, whose name is said to be Hanna in some of the narrations. But nonetheless, she is inspired by Allah. And Allah says, وَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ نَرْضِعِي. We told her, nurse him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ. When you fear for him, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمْ. Then put him into the river, into the Nile. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْسَنِي. Don't worry, don't grieve. إِنَّا رَدُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We will return him back to you and we will make him a messenger of God. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ. And then the wife of Fir'aun finds his baby floating in a basket down the Nile. And she picks up the child, falls immediately in love with the child. قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ لِي وَلَكْ لَا تَقْتُلُهُ عَسَائِنْ فَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. She says, I do not kill this child. I want to raise this child as my own. And he will be the coolness of, you know, my eyes. Now, the mother of Moses on the other side, she feels terrible because she's been separated from her child. She tells the sister of Moses, the older sister, her daughter, she says, go and follow along the Nile, and if you can see where Moses ended up, where Musa alayhi salam ended up. So when she follows, her name is said to be Maryam. When she follows, she finds that he's been taken in by the family of Fir'aun. And when she goes there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, what does she see? Harramna alayhi al-maradi'a. God made it so that Musa alayhi salam would not nurse from any women. And the wife of Fir'aun was becoming distraught. This baby is crying and needs to eat, right? But he won't latch onto, he won't nurse from any woman. So that's when the sister of Musa alayhi salam, unbeknownst to them that she is his sister, she basically comes forward and says, I know someone who can nurse this child because she's very good with kids. And of course, she's referring to her mother, the mother of this baby, Musa alayhi salam. And فَرَدَدَنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنَ وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٍ. And then Allah says that in such a way, Musa alayhi salam was returned back to his mother. She would care for him every day. She would nurse him and take care of him and clean him and, you know, bathe him every day. She became his full-time nanny as her mother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, remember and know from the story that the promise of Allah is the truth. Okay. Then Allah tells us that Musa alayhi salam grows up, becomes a young man. And he lives torn between these two worlds because he grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, but he knows that he's an Israelite. So he's kind of caught between these two realities. Because the people of Fir'aun, the Qibtiyun, they are the oppressive ruling class. And the Israelites are enslaved by them. So he's torn between these two worlds. So it talks about how, like, one time in kind of like the noontime, you know, siesta time, Qaylula time, when it was kind of like the off time at noon, and everybody would go home and get out of the sun and get some rest and whatnot. Musa alayhi salam goes into the marketplace and he sees that there are two men there arguing, and it's starting to get a little, you know, starting to shove and it's starting to get a little bit serious. And one is a member of Pharaoh's tribe, the Qibtiyun, and the other is an Israelite. Now understand that typically in such a scenario, the perpetrator, the oppressor, would be the people from Pharaoh's tribe, and the Israelite would be oppressed. That is what normally would happen in these situations, but there are exceptions to the rule, and this was one of those exceptions. Musa alayhi salam steps in. Come to find out, the Israelite was the one making the trouble. But Musa alayhi salam steps in, telling that member of Pharaoh's tribe, that you need to back off here and not make trouble. And he says, make trouble. You tell me what to, don't tell me what to. He gets kind of offended. And he kind of gets in Musa alayhi salam's face. It looks like he's about to try to assault him. He's like, you're going to tell me what to do? And he starts to come at him. Musa alayhi salam, as a defense mechanism, hits him hard, like in the chest, kind of pushing him off from him. The man falls and he dies. It's a big, terrible accident. Everyone scatters and disperses. A little while later, some days later, now it's news throughout town that somebody from Pharaoh's tribe was killed. And it's a very serious issue. A member of the ruling class was killed. So everything's on high alert. Musa alayhi salam is passing through that marketplace a few days later. And he sees that same Israelite who he came to defend that day arguing and fighting with somebody else. And Musa alayhi salam walks up to him and he says, you're making trouble again. I thought I told you not to do this. And the man screams, oh Musa, don't kill me like you killed that other guy. أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. And once he says this, everyone hears that the news spreads like wildfire. It reaches the authorities that Musa's the one who killed a member of Pharaoh's tribe. When this happens, Musa alayhi salam, he doesn't know what to do. A man comes who's from the court, who knows what's going on, that they're basically talking about making an example out of Musa and executing it. He says, "Ukhruj inni laka minan nasihin." He says, "You need to leave town now. I just want what's good for you. You need to leave town." So Musa alayhi salam leaves, فَخَرَجَ مِنَ خَائِفَيْنِ يَتَرَقَّبْ, looking over his shoulder, making sure no one's following him. قَالَ رَبِّي نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, saying, "My Lord, my Master, protect me from these oppressors." Then he reaches a place called Madian. When he reaches there, he says, "My Lord will make a way for me." He finds that there's a watering hole, so he can get some water there as well. And then he goes and sits down under the shade of a tree. He goes and he takes a seat under the shade of a tree there, near the watering hole, near the well. And there's a bunch of people, long line of people. They're all like lined up and they're all getting water. And he notices that there are two young ladies who are waiting and waiting and waiting for their turn to get to the water. But it's taking forever. Musa alayhi salam feels bad. And so he goes and he kind of gets into the line and gets there and he tells them, "Please come, it's your turn." And then he helps them fill up the water. And then he gives it to them. And he asks them, "How come y'all are having to do this?" And they said, "Wabuna shiha hata yastira ri'au wabuna shaykhun kabir." Right, like we wait until everyone is done, but the reason why we have to come and do it, wabuna shaykhun kabir, our father is a very elderly man. So Musa alayhi salam, he helps them out. They go on their way. He goes and sits back down under the shade of the tree. And when he sits down there, he makes a dua. Very beautiful dua in the Quran, surah number 28, verse number 24. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqirun. My Lord, my Master, indeed I am desperately in need of any good that you can provide to me. Whatever good you send my way, Ya Allah, I need it. I'm desperate. I'm destitute. So a little while later, the dua of Musa alayhi salam is answered. The two girls, they come back. One of them comes back. And she says that, you know, our father is calling you so that he may repay your kindness that you showed to us. So please come with us. We'd like to host you. So Musa alayhi salam says, "Okay, let's go." He walks ahead so she can walk behind. So it's more modest. And also, she doesn't kind of have to worry about, there's a stranger. Yes, he was kind to us, but he's walking behind me. You know, of course, Musa alayhi salam wouldn't, but, you know, she doesn't have to worry about somebody attacking her from behind. So they reach there and they have a meal. He has a meal with the father of the girls, and that man is said to be the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. Allah knows best. So during the meal, when the daughter says to the father, that, "Father, you should hire him. He seems trustworthy, good, and you should hire him." So then the Shu'aib alayhi salam, the father, says to Musa alayhi salam, "How about this? I will hire you to work for me for 10 years. Right? At least 8. But 10, if you will. And I will also marry you to one of my daughters." And Musa alayhi salam agrees. And you see the dua of Musa alayhi salam being answered, in which he's given a family, a home, and a job all in one go. And that's the kind of hope, that's the kind of perspective we need to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when we are in need, when we need something and we make dua and we ask Allah, put your faith and trust in Allah. Know that Allah will take care of you. And don't worry about it after that point. Now, the story of Musa alayhi salam goes on. And it's discussed many places in the Quran. His interaction with Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. But there is another part of the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam that is mentioned at the end of the surah that I wanted to highlight. And that is, there's a man who's related to Musa alayhi salam. So he's from Bani Israel. He apparently, or at least acts or pretends that he's from the believers, those who follow Musa alayhi salam. And he becomes the wealthiest man in the world, where it said that 100 camels would carry just the keys for his, you know, his treasures. So that's how, you know, his wealth is legendary. And so he is told by Musa alayhi salam, you have to give charity. Just like I was talking about earlier in Ramadan, we have to give charity. So he says, you have to give charity. And he says, why? إِنَّمَا أُتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I earned this money. It's my money. What do you mean I have to give it in charity? And he is not willing to comply. But he becomes so bothered and upset that Musa is trying to take my money that he hatches a plan to slander Musa alayhi salam. And this is one of the occasions where Allah miraculously grants the ability to speak to a baby. He hires a prostitute to come with a baby and say, this is Moses' illegitimate child. And Moses, wal'ayyadhu billah, committed such and such sin with me. And as she comes up there, the baby speaks miraculously. The woman ends up confessing that it was Qarun who put me up to this. And Musa alayhi salam makes dua, and Qarun and all of his wealth is sucked down into the earth and perished and destroyed. And the surah talks about how when Qarun first came out there, people were looking at all of his glitz and his glamour and his pomp and his glory, and they were impressed. But there were some other people who had the correct perspective, and they said, do not be impressed by material things, but rather what is of great value and what is worthy of your admiration is obedience and submission to Allah. The last thing that I'll mention here as a part of our reflections on the 20th juz is in Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, chapter 29. Surah Al-Ankabut is called the Surah about the spider. There are two verses. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us perspective. At the end of the juz, he says, وَإِنْ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ إِمَّثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا وَإِنْ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. People who devote and dedicate themselves to anything other than Allah, they're like spiders building a web. Because the weakest home that any creature has is the home of the spider. It's the spider's web. Very weak, flimsy. So the life of this world and material pursuits are like a spider web. Barely has any reality to it. And that's exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this darul imtihan, wa darul ikhtibar, wa darul amal, and not darul jaza. This is our temporary abode. This is a place where we work, where we are tested. And the life of the hereafter is eternal, where we enjoy and reap the rewards and the benefits. And that's why at the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ. Have people really assumed, أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا أَمَنَّا. That they will be left after saying, we believe, we believe. وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. And that then they won't be tested. There will not be any hardship. No, no, no. There will be tests, there will be hardship. But they'll all be worth it at the end of the day. So with that, we'll conclude here the reflections on the 20th of Juz. I want to remind everyone, as always, go to supportqalam.com. Support the work that we're doing. Help us reach more and more people like yourselves. And for you, this sadaqah jariyah. You give $1 and that will become someone's education, and it will continue to multiply from there. And on the day of judgment, the bank of reward that you will have will be unimaginable and unfathomable. So go to supportqalam.com. Donate now, donate today. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.